It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Steve Georgie. Steve is president of Allendale, McHenry, Illinois. Great to see you.
It's great to be here today. It's really good to see you as well.
Now, when I say see you, most of the time we're doing this over a telephone or internet or whatever. But the fact is we're both in Omaha for the ABA Ag Bankers Conference. You spoke at the event. What is the event for those who've never seen?
Yeah, you know, it's a great event. Ag lenders get together, and I got to give a presentation basically on the grains, corn, beans, and wheat. What are we looking for? What is it that we need to be paying attention to moving forward as a whole? What are some of the facts that are out there? And that's what we went through, and really, we need to hold that true. There's a lot of headline stuff going on. We need to understand, what are we sifting through here? What is the facts? Where are we at? And what's left at the end of the day? And that's what we did. So we broke that down, and we did that on that, you know, for all these bankers. So it was great.
So normally we approach things from a producer's perspective, but how important is it for bankers to understand what producers are watching?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Lending in this world, right, when you see costs go up, inflationary talks, right? Everything else. Lending is a tremendous part of that. And so it's been great. It's been great to sit down and have conversations with folks that are in the lending business and in the industry. And so one aspect is price. And that's what I got to talk about. So that's going to fluctuate, and it's going to continue to fluctuate. And the one thing that is that what we're trying to discover where this price is currently. But really, when we focus on carryout numbers, we're guessing what's going to happen at the end of August. So a lot of these guesses, but trying to sift out what's facts and what's not.
We rely a lot on USDA at this point, but times have been changing on USDA as well. I imagine it's hard to keep up with all of the technical changes that have been happening in the markets for somebody like USDA.
Yeah, you know, and this is where things change, right? And they change fast, whether or not we're going to be talking about Ukraine and Russia, right? And what we've got coming out of the Black Sea region, how that looks. Right now, some of those effects really haven't done much. If we're going to talk about that, we really need to be watching it from the perspective of where is our demand domestically? Are we selling more? Are we not? Are we seeing some of the ramifications of what's happening over there? And what does that do for us from a carryout standpoint? We know weather's been a big issue this past year, so we take that into consideration. But now we start looking at it saying, where are we at from a demand perspective? And when we talk about demand, corn right now, we are way behind as far as that demand for corn. And so we need to see some of those purchases. Usually right now is a time in which we purchase or we see purchases and we're not. One of the biggest has been China, right? Phase one deal out of China, that has not come to fruition. That's something that has been talked about, over-advertised, looked at. China's just going back to what they've done in the past. So to expect some of these big purchases out of China is just not there. And I think that's when we talk about what USDA is doing. They need to recognize some of these changes moving forward, and I think they will on these balance sheets over the next several months.
So if the demand isn't there, or at least the appetite to buy from the U.S., demand's probably still there. But if they're not buying from the U.S., who will?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, and what it is here, so as I mentioned corn, we have this, I'm going to call it demand destruction. And it's just this, you know, when we look at our price versus out of Brazil, right now we're 40 tons over, or $40 a ton over what Brazil is priced currently. So when you look at that, as you mentioned, on an open market, are people looking for U.S. corn? No. But for soybeans, it is a different story. We are equal to Brazil right now, and that is even with inflationary talks and the dollar being so strong, our price delivered is almost the same as what it would be out of Brazil. So there has been good demand for soybeans. We've seen that. China is back to a regular schedule on what they typically purchase. So we look at that moving forward. What do we do? And so we know that the economic situation out of Brazil right now is very, very tough. And so you've got their political parties now fighting, things like that. Are we going to, if you're looking for beans, you come into U.S. or you come into Brazil? Chances are beans could carry some more weight here as far as export sales and could be strong here for the coming months.
And you teed this up. Export sells and the Mississippi. So do we have to keep the whole idea of infrastructure and some of these supply chains issues different now? Do we have to keep these in mind?
We do have to keep them in mind. You know, this is a big issue. I've talked to a lot of different firms and a lot of clients that are along that Mississippi area that truly is an issue. And so we do. But the thing is that we've got two different markets, right? You've got a cash market and then you have futures. Does the future side need to recognize the problem or the issues that we have? The only reason that the futures market will recognize that is if we start having problems shipping things out of the Gulf. But what we've seen change is basis. Basis levels across the country are absolutely wild this year, whether or not it's corn, beans, whatever it is. But basis levels around the river have declined. And we've seen that. There is a problem. And so that has come more on the cash side. And we need to see things get fixed. I'm not sure that Mother Nature is going to help us out in this case or as fast as we need. But as of right now, it is still a cash problem. If we have issues where we can't get beans down to the Gulf fast enough, that will be a futures problem. And we're going to see that. That would be looked at as bearish moving forward. So keep that in mind as we go through this scenario.
So if our futures markets are really telling us what to expect in the future, what are they telling us about some of the headlines we're hearing?
That's the emotional side. You know, that is pure emotion. The one thing I can tell you that we need to do more so this year than any other year that I've been in around this industry is that we need to take those emotions and we need to sift through them. What is real, what is not. And so when you look at what's happening here from headline perspective, let's take grain. Just a week and a half ago, right, you had Russia that was going to come out and we're not going to they're pulling out of that grain deal. So now all of a sudden, Ukraine's got an issue. Everyone else that was in that party was saying that, hey, we're still going to export. It's not so much what gets exported or how. There's ships there. There's grain to be delivered. But the problem that we currently have isn't that. It's who's going to insure the boats that it gets through that canal at a proper pace, proper speed, and then it has what it has on there. Those insurance companies are the ones that back out. So if you're not going to insure that boat, chances are you're not moving grain. So we went from saying, hey, Russia's backing out and this is a big issue, to now all of a sudden, a couple days later, it's, hey, guys, just kidding, right? I'm in the deal. So you went 50, 60, almost limit higher for wheat one day to turn around to be that 50, 60 to limit down as we went through that week. That is raw emotion. So that's the day-to-day stuff that we need to sift through. Longer-term futures right now still sitting with 600 million carry out for wheat. And until we see demand, those rallies or those stories may be looked at as selling opportunities versus buying opportunities.
Obviously, you have to have speculators in the market. That's where your liquidity comes from. But it seems as though they may be the ones that are reacting to a lot of this. What are the words for the farmers who are just trying to figure out, how do I not lose my head in this market?
Yeah, that's a great question, because right now profitability levels are there. And some of the concerns that I have, now I think old crop versus this new crop or next year's crop is two different questions there. Old crop right now, I think you can expect to see corn kind of chop around the next few months. And as we get into that January report, $6.50 to $7, probably a range. Whereas for soybeans, January beans, anywhere from $14, which is economic value right now, to maybe $15 if we start seeing some issues in South America. That's probably a range in which we can play here for that January contract. But for next year, as far as a producer, we need to be concerned. You've got profitability right now in corn for next year. The thing is that if we start returning back to more of a trend line type attitude next year, and at these price levels, let's just be honest, we're probably going to see acreage go up. So if we're going to see higher acreage, plus we're going to return to trend line yields, and if we're going to carry demand kind of where it is right now, we could end up seeing us back down, put a 5 in front of this thing, and maybe even a 4 in front of the market if this comes to fruition. And so we need to be very careful. The time is now, though. Do something, right? Don't come in, and no one knows what's going to happen next year. But at these price levels, get profitable, stay profitable. That's the message. And I think as of right now, you are. So you need to take advantage of some of that for some of that new crop or next year's crop.
Okay, a couple of minutes left, but can't leave without talking about where we could end up in D.C. next year as election results kind of settle out and we figure out what the true numbers are. What are you watching?
Yeah, you know, and that's a great question. As we go through this election, we get through the midterms, we get into a presidential election here as we get into next year. The big thing, when we talk commodities as a whole, you've got a couple things, right? You've got the funds, right? What does managed money do? What are they? How are they coming in and out of a market? And the big thing is when you focus on managed money, the biggest piece of the pie is the energies. So we know that that is a political stage right now for the energies and what that's doing. How is crude oil moving? What's going on in Europe? How does Russia moving gas into Europe and what that looks like, right? These are all things that need to be watched. So the energies is certainly something that you do need to watch. Of course, throw in that inflationary idea as well. But the biggest thing for corn, beans, and wheat, so as a producer out there of row crops, the biggest thing to watch is what the U.S. dollar is doing. How is that effect, right? What are we continuing to do with interest rate? What is the Fed doing? Is Fed going to raise another 75 basis points, or are we going to see something a little bit lower? That has an effect on this dollar, and we've seen that starting to chop around right now. I don't want to say that it's causing more of a topping action, but it is something that needs to be watched. Sift through the political stuff. Put that aside, whatever it is. But to be your barometer out there in direction, you do need to watch that dollar. If the dollar starts to decline, what you tend to see is you see commodities or goods and services become more expensive or more valued. And so you start to look at that. That's when we could see export sales pick up and put us back into that export game again. So as we get into the political arena and how that looks, the things to watch, certainly the energy markets, what that does, what kind of take does it have on crude oil, on diesel fuel, right? Diesel prices continue to increase. But not only that, what does it do for the U.S. dollar? That's going to be the biggest key when you talk about commodities. That is where you're going to have the biggest price movement depending upon what happens there. So keep that in mind as we go through this political season.
Okay. We want to find out more about Allendale. How do we do it?
Yep. You can reach us right online, allendale-inc.com, or give us a call. Be glad to talk to you. 1-800, the number 2-MARKET. So 1-800-2-MARKET. Just ask for me. Glad to have a conversation with you.
And is there any commodities you don't cover? We've obviously hit corn, soybeans. What else are you covering?
Yeah, you know, and this is where, I mean, all commodities, we're ready to cover that. But there's some excitement out there, right? The wheat market, as we've talked about that and kind of covered through wheat. But the other thing, too, to watch what's happening in cotton. I can't have an interview without talking about cotton. We've seen what happened. Prices have been slashed in half, even with the fundamentals of it, not suggesting we should do that. But what are cotton prices going to do as we get into next year, and how do we finish out this year? Cotton prices are certainly going to stay very, very volatile, and they're not letting go of that. So expect to, you know, ask anything there, but we can cover just about anything you got.
Steve Georgi is president of Allendale. Again, online, allendale-inc.com. From the 2022 ABA Ag Bankers Conference in Omaha, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Did I get the website?